Life Audio.
This is Empowering Homeschool Conversations.
We want families to come here and gain insightful strategies that empower them to successfully teach diverse learners at home.
Hosted by founder and CEO of Sped Homeschool, Peggy Ployer.
Our goal is that these powerful weekly conversations will boost your confidence to cultivate the best at-home learning environment for your student.
For more homeschool resources, go to spedhomeschool.com. You're listening to Empowering Homeschool Conversations with Peggy Ployer. We'll start the conversation with Peggy and her guests next.
Is it hard to spark meaningful conversations with your kids? Whether you're a homeschool hero, planning activities for the next family vacation, or simply gathering around the dinner table, we've got something that can help. Introducing the Daily Family Conversation Starter by best-selling author Katie Clemens. This remarkable book offers 365 imaginative ways to connect with your children in just 5 minutes each day, with prompts like, "Who made you laugh today?" or "What would you do if you had a tail?" These simple questions open up a world of laughter, curiosity, and deeper connections. From dinner time to sleepy time, the Daily Family Conversation Starter is your key to creating memories that will last a lifetime. Don't wait to transform your family's daily routine into an adventure of discovery and fun. Grab your copy of the Daily Family Conversation Starter today, wherever books are sold.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
This is Empowering Homeschool Conversations, provided by Sped Homeschool, a nonprofit that empowers families to home educate diverse learners. To learn more, visit spedhomeschool.com. Here's Peggy Ployer.
We are going to focus on tips for creating at-home calm down spaces with Jason Shea. Welcome, Jason, to the show. I'm excited to have you here.
Same here. I'm excited to be on and just, you know, have a wonderful conversation with you and share something that I'm learning with your audience as well.
Yes, yes. Calm down spaces. It brings some beautiful pictures to mind, but I know we don't have to create just beautiful spaces to have calm down spaces. So Jason's got a lot of ideas to share with you. And if you're watching live, if you're joining us live, either on Facebook or YouTube, please put your comments or questions in the feed so that we can include you in our discussion. We would love to be able to do that. So as we're getting started, Jason, I always ask my guests, the first thing is to just tell us a little bit about yourself and your story, your family and anything else that you want to share just to introduce us to you and just a little bit about your background and why you're passionate about this topic.
For sure. So my name is Jason Shea. I'm originally from Taiwan. My wife's Japanese. So a quick background on how everything started for me is in 2013, my son and my family was living in Tokyo, Japan back then. My wife's Japanese. Okay. So, I also speak Chinese and Japanese fluently. English is my sole language. So I still have a little bit of accents. However, when we were living in Tokyo, Japan, our son was diagnosed with autism and ADHD at age 3. So the unfortunate thing about Asia, for those of you who've been to Asia, is a huge taboo to talk about disability. is almost just as bad as talking about sex in Asia. People don't talk about it at all. So, especially for an invisible disability like autism, ADHD, you can pretend there's nothing wrong with your kid. I mean, if you hide it enough, people wouldn't tell. So, unfortunately, that's often what happened in Asia. So, when we first heard about the diagnosis, we were trying to look for help, trying to look for therapies. But we used to live in Tokyo, one of the biggest metropolitan area in the world.
Yeah.
But we can only find 2 therapy centers in the entire Tokyo metropolitan area.
That's crazy.
Not a very good situation.
Absolutely not.
Parents.
Yeah.
So we decided to move back to United States. I have dual citizenship. I have Taiwan and U.S. citizenship. I went to high school in California. I went to UC Santa Barbara for college. Uh-huh. But I decided to move back to Asia after I graduated. But in 2013, I was facing on a decision, should we stay in Japan and try to deal with it? Or should we just move and move back to the United States, which I think have a little bit more alternative, more resources, and more chances for our sons to be successful in his life. And that's exactly what we did in 2015.
Okay.
However, only to find out U.S. insurance, one of the worst in the entire world. I would not recommend you to come move to the United States for those of you that have kids with special needs. Double think before you move because you will be paying everything out of pocket for all the therapy. Even so, there's a lot of options, but financially is a lot of money as well.
Right. Yeah.
So being a serious entrepreneur, as I always been, I started my first business with one of my friends straight out of college.
Which cool.
Ended up didn't go well, and I closed it. That's why I moved back to Asia. But anyway, but I always wanted to start more businesses. So I decided to start a Lucky Kid in 2017 as a way to pay for additional therapies for our son. That is the true origin
That's
story.
Why that got it started. Okay.
Yes,
so Lucky Kid started to fund that for your son.
Yes. So that's how everything started. So now that was back in 2017. So we are kind of this is our 6th year. We just had our 5th year's anniversary. As you know, small business is not an easy thing to do. And we went through a lot of up and down. Currently, with my team, we have a team of about 13 people. We have about 9 different products. We do about $1 million now in revenue. So we are still a small business compared to some other giant corporation. But true, deep inside my heart, my long-term vision for my company and my business is I want to go out and change and impact over 1 million lives of families that got affected by special needs, especially the family back in Asia, because that's where I'm from.
Right.
And I'm happy on this podcast. I'm expanding into Amazon Japan this year. I'm actually going to be
so cool
next week.
Yeah. So the country you left because you felt like you weren't supported there, you're returning to go and provide support. That is an amazing story. And at the same time, providing hope and services and resources for your own son and income for your family and a greater purpose. We were talking about that kind of before the broadcast is just, how those things we're most passionate about that just continue to drive us and knowing that need that is still existing in Asia and being able to go pour into that, how exciting that is. So. And so you got started in 2017. That's when Sped Homeschool started too. And I know we connected very soon after both of our, your company and my organization started. And so we've talked back and forth, Jason and I have for years, and I'm just so excited to have you on the podcast finally. This is fun. So we've done some unboxings and reviews of Jason's products that they've designed and sell. And I know you say now that you represent an even larger grouping of a partner businesses as well that do toys and other things. So
that's great. Yeah.
So that's exciting. So in general sensory issues, let's talk about that and just how, like, things that you put in the atmosphere or that you bring in, like fidgets, weighted items, you know, lights and sounds, how does that affect or change the sensory, I guess, mood of a person? And why are they so important?
So sensory issue usually is referred to difficulty that individual may have with processing and responding to sensory information from their environment. For my son, when he was much younger, he is hypersensitive.
Okay.
For example, taking him to get a haircut is like taking him to like, oh my God, like we're into jail. He will be screaming, yelling,
right,
and just, like, biting onto people. It's like, it's crazy. You couldn't take him to the haircut. However, for some reason, when he become older, a lot of sensory issues tend to be lessened and actually went away. Like right now, I can take him to a barber shop. It's like, no problems. Oh, when are we going to get a haircut, Dad? It's like, okay. I'll schedule something. Your hair is getting long. But I don't know. So I'm not a doctor, so I don't know why that happened. But it happened in real life for my son. But back
That's
to
awesome.
Your question, sensory issue can affect the different type of senses, including touch, sight, sound, taste, and smell, and can have significant impact on daily life. For my sons, it was really the noise and also, I think, touch. So that's why, like, cutting his hair is more like cutting his finger almost. That's why he was screaming and yelling. He's so sensitive, even so he's cutting the hair. But for him, he feels like someone's cutting his finger off. So that's not a, of course, he'll be screaming and yelling when he have such an intense sensory kind of perception to that. And also, I would say there's three things that really contribute to it. First, fidget. Second, weighted items or weighted product. Third, atmosphere, that including light, sounds, and touch, and can all play a role in helping individual with sensory issue to regulate their sensory input and feel more comfortable in their environment. I can give you more example about each of the three things as well, if you want me to elaborate.
Yeah, that would be great, because I think some people aren't very, very familiar with each of those items and really what and there's a wide variety, like even as fidgets.
Yes, you can
go and Google fidgets or go on to Amazon for fidgets. And
100%.
You
can,
like... After a word from our sponsor, we'll dive back into this conversation.
Is it hard to spark meaningful conversations with your kids? Whether you're a homeschool hero, planning activities for the next family vacation, or simply gathering around the dinner table, we've got something that can help. Introducing the Daily Family Conversation Starter by best-selling author Katie Clemens. This remarkable book offers 365 imaginative ways to connect with your children in just 5 minutes each day, with prompts like, "Who made you laugh today?" or "What would you do if you had a tail?" These simple questions open up a world of laughter, curiosity, and deeper connections. From dinner time to sleepy time, the Daily Family Conversation Starter is your key to creating memories that will last a lifetime. Don't wait to transform your family's daily routine into an adventure of discovery and fun. Grab your copy of the Daily Family Conversation Starter today, wherever books are sold.
This is Empowering Homeschool Conversations, provided by Sped Homeschool. Go to spedhomeschool.com to get resources and support for teaching your unique learner at home.
So let me elaborate on each of those. So number one, fidget. Fidget are usually typically small items, objects, or toys that individual can manipulate with their hand. For example, this is one of our products that we designed. It is a silent fidget marble maze. So the kids can push the maze inside, a marble inside this maze. Sorry, I said the opposite. But it's really silent. So it's very different, like the fidget spinner or, you know, like distracting one. And we also partner with other companies that also create, this is called Handy Scenes. This is one of our partners. They also design like small fidgets that's like silence. But this particular design, you can push a smiley face through this loop. I don't know if the audience can see. So it's really designed for fine motor skills. The fidget can help individuals with sensory issues by providing a way to channel their excess energy or anxiety. By focusing on manipulating the fidget, like this one I'm showing you, individual or the kids can redirect their attention away from the sensory stimuli that might be overwhelming and distracting for them. And got especially it. For silent ones, it really, I mean, a lot of the teacher buy this product from us and include it into their countdown corner, which is kind of our today's main discussion.
Right,
this is really
yes.
a very popular item for the countdown corner. So that's the first thing you need to think about. The second thing is consider using weighted item or weighted product. Weighted item like weighted blanket, weighted vest, or weighted stuffed animal like the one I have right now here. This is one of our own design. It's a weighted puppy dog that you can sit on the neck. Of course, it looks kind of small on me because I'm a full-size adult.
Yes.
But for the kids, it's designed for kids, not for adults. That's why it looks so small on me.
Right.
It provides the deep pressure stimulation that can be calming and smoothing for individuals with sensory issues. And the added weight can also help regulate the nervous system and provide a sense of security and comfort.
So the last
part is really atmosphere. The sensory environment, including light, sound, and touches, can all affect individuals with sensory issues. Some individuals may be hypersensitive to certain type of stimuli, while others might seek out more sensory input. Because there's two types. There's a sensory seeker
and
a sensory
avoider. Yes.
That's both sides. So it depends on the kids. Some kids want to run away from the sensory input. Some kids want to see more sensory input. My son is really a seeker. He's always like hitting himself against the wall and, you know, do some crazy stuff. And he's always hyper because he's seeking those additional input.
He needs input. That input, right.
Exactly. And creating a sensory-friendly atmosphere that can help usually typically involve adjusting your lighting, or you can play like different calming music or even white noises, or provide soft texture or other textile experience for the kids, like the fidget toy I was showing you.
Right.
But all in all, in conclusion, it is very important to know that everyone's sensory processing is unique. And what works for one person may not work for another. Like what worked for my son may not work for your kids.
Right.
And it's important to work with a healthcare professional, especially an occupational therapist, to determine the best strategy for managing sensory issues.
That's great advice. Yes. And that you can't duplicate it. I know. I think we look in like magazines that say, okay, here's how to create this space. And they give you a list of items and then it doesn't work. And it ends up being this really nice little corner in your house that never gets used because it was somebody else's idea of a calming space. And so I'm excited that you're going to talk more into this because there are some things that parents need to consider. But thank you for touching on each of those items, those
no
fidgets
problem.
And the weighted items and all the other things and why they're so important. I think it's good to understand the why behind what you do instead of, my child has these issues, so we just have to create this space. And that's kind of going at it the wrong way, but coming with purpose and intention that we're going to create this space unique for this child. And so in working with an occupational therapist, what might be some questions that a parent could ask of that therapist that would be helpful in thinking through some of the things?
It depends. Well, this is a loaded question because it depends on the kid's age as well. So also depends on the kid already have a diagnosis or not. Because without a diagnosis, getting help is tricky. You need to first step for those of you that's listening that doesn't have a diagnosis yet to get that diagnosis first. That's the first step. Once you have the diagnosis, either ADHD, sensory processing disorder, or autism, whatever that diagnosis is, that's where you can start like seeking out specialists that have more experience and more expertise in that area.
Right.
And like I just mentioned earlier, it's individualized. So you need to do like a one-on-one. And usually what they will do is call like a sensory evaluation almost. There's like an assessment
that's good to
occupational
know. Yes.
therapist will do. And based on the result, of course, I'm not an occupational therapist. I'm just a passionate dad.
That's a good thing though. Passionate dads, we love them.
So that's what I would suggest, to talk to your nearby clinic. And one of my friends His name is Matt Sloan. He's occupational therapist.
He's been on the show before. Uh-huh.
Yes. And I partner with him on many different projects. I will refer to his website. He owns a company called sensoryfitness.org that teach about like sensory issues. And he also teach fun exercise and fitness activity you can do with the kids to help with sensory issues. So that was where I will start to really consult from the professional advice, because I don't want to give out like wrong medical advice here on the show. Yep. So that will be the first step. First, get a diagnosis if you haven't already. If you do, then schedule a time and just say, I have some concern about my kid with some sensory input. Can I do like a sensory assessment? And they know exactly what you mean, and they will go do that.
Right. Well, that's good to know that there is something like that in a sensory assessment, because our parents might not even be aware of that. And to know that you can ask for that and that they can go through a checklist.
And the next step is you should talk with your OT and come up with a strategy to implement that in your school's IEP for your kids. Mm-hmm. Which I do for my son. It's like when he was younger, when he had more sensory issue, inside IEP, it was written explicitly he need to have a wiggle seat in the classroom to help him out. That's on the OT suggestion, you know.
Right.
Of course. Yep. So that's something you should. Everything shouldn't be living in its own silo. Whatever you are doing at home should be also doing in school and also doing in the therapy center. Those three places should be all talking to each other. It's like you shouldn't be doing something by yourself at home that you don't show it to your teacher. And the teacher should be also in communication with your OT, with the therapist team, with your medical team. And also the parents should, like those, everyone should be in the same page. What oftentimes when I talk to parents, like, oh, I'm trying all this thing at home, but we do something different in school and we do something different in the therapy center. Then they're not talking to each other. At the end of the day, we are all trying to help the kids. So it's important for the adult in the room to work together.
Right. Yep. And that's a little different for homeschoolers, because as parents, we generally write our own IEP for
homeschool.
But it's still good to note. I'm glad you pointed that out, because a lot of times parents will use outside therapy and they will use outside tutors. And they often don't think of sharing that information in those places as well.
Yeah.
But you're creating strategies and you're testing them in different environments and seeing what works. And if you can have that documented in a homeschool IEP, then more likely as your student moves on, graduates, you know, ask for accommodations, maybe on a test for college entrance or for college accommodations, they can say, here's the history. Here is what has worked for me. I would like this accommodation now, move forward. And if they have the historic documentation, they're more than likely to get it. So it's just something to consider, but yes, all good to incorporate. So that's a wonderful thing to remember to do. Is there any other like questions as far as like what parents can kind of think through as they're observing and watching their own child, you know, in different environments that may be helpful information for saying, this is what I should include in our calm down space, or maybe this is what I should avoid?
That's a very, very good question. And I will say first, things to consider is setting up a calm down corner for a child at home can be a useful tool to help them regulate their emotion and behavior. However, before you do so, there's a few things to consider. I wrote down a few things on my note here.
Definitely.
I think about seven things. I would consider those seven factors. Number one, purpose. Determine the purpose of the calm down corner. Is it to help your child calm down when they are upset? Or is it a place for them to take a break when they needed some quiet time? Clarifying that purpose will help you to design the calm down corner more effectively. Mm-hmm. And do not use it as a punishment. Do not use it for a punishment. That's just, time out corner. No, don't do that. Don't do that. Because now then the kids or associate have a negative association with that space. Then it defeats the whole purpose of the calm down corner.
Right.
You shouldn't use that as a punishment. Do not do that for a punishment. Second thing, location. Choose a location for the calm down corner that's quiet, private, and away from distraction. It should be a place where your child can go and feel calm and safe. That's why it's a calm down corner.
Right.
So, third, comfort. ensure the calm down corner is comfortable and inviting, considering adding different elements like soft cushions, weighted blankets, and like weighted animals to make mm-hmm. it a welcoming space. That's also important. Number four, safety. Ensure the calm down corner is yeah. safe and free of hazards. Avoid placing any item in that corner that can be harmful or dangerous to the kids. Number five, accessibility. Ensure the calm down corner is easy to access for your child.
Right.
It's so far from that for the child to use, then why do you create a calm down corner?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, considering placing it in a central location that's easily visible, accessible. Usually, I mean, I'll talk more about like a couple different locations you can consider when we right. talk about choosing a location as well. Number six, communication. Discuss the calm down corner with your child and explain its purposes. Let them know that this right. is a safe space mm-hmm. where they can go to calm down and when they feel upset or overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Last but yep. not least, boundary. Establish a clear boundary and expectation for using the calm down corner. Let your child know it's a peaceful space and they should use it appropriately and yeah. they couldn't just go in there and play video right. game. Okay? That's not what it's for.
Exactly.
My son tried to do that in the calm down corner before. Right. Like, oh, this is my video game corner. No, it's not a video game corner. You can play video game a little bit in there, but don't just like get in there and don't go out for like four hours. That's
right,
not
yes.
what it is. Designed for. So considering mm-hmm. all these factors, you can create a countdown corner that's effective and beneficial for your child.
Yes, I love that list. That's really good because it allows you to kind of think through it, but discuss it at the same time so that yeah. your child's on the same board as you are. Because a lot of times I think as parents, we kind of jump the gun and we just create something and then we just, you know, kind of introduce it without really introducing it. Yeah. And especially I find, you know, with my kids on the spectrum, we kind of had to really prepare and talk through things yeah. and kind of that transition had to be long and thought out because quick transitions don't always go over very well. So yeah. And to make that into a regular part of life usually takes a while instead of just happening overnight.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah. So items, we talked a little bit, yeah, items to include or avoid in general. Do you have any specifics that, let's start without the space and how do we pick that space in our home? You know, I guess, you know, some people have big houses, some have small. How yeah. would you go about evaluating a good space and not just like the leftover whatever yeah. corner in some yeah, room yeah, that's, yeah, yeah. you know, far away?
Yeah. Okay, that's a wonderful question. So when choosing a location for your countdown corner, it is important to consider the needs of your child and the layout of your house. Mm-hmm. Here are some places at your house that you will work well for a countdown corner. Number one, if you have a spare bedroom, like a quiet room that you can use, or a room that doesn't get a lot of traffic, it's like not right next to your garage, for example, that everyone passes through it, right. can be an excellent location for a countdown corner. This provides a quiet space away from the distractions. And second thing is you can consider using a cozy, like a nook. You know, some house have that. If you don't have a spare room, considering create a cozy, space in a quiet corner of a room. This okay. can create with a small table, a chair, some pillows, a blanket. Some people will buy like a kids tent and put yeah. all the things inside the kids tent as a countdown mm-hmm. corner. That's another great way to you can do that in the kids room itself by buy a tent and say, oh, inside the tent is your countdown corner with your weighted animal, your weighted blanket, and, you know, all the stuff that help the kids to, you know, self-regulate and calm down.
Right.
And also you can use your reading area as a countdown corner. If your okay. child really enjoy reading, a reading area with a comfortable chairs, beanbags, or a bookshelf can make an excellent countdown corner as well. Okay. Now they are not just coming down, they are also reading something at the same time.
Right. I mean,
you hit two yes. birds with one stone.
Right. So,
yeah. And then the other location to consider is under the stairs. If you have a stairway with an empty space underneath, yes. considering creating a cozy space there. this can be a unique and fun location for Countdown Corner. But again, do not use it as a punishment like what happened in Harry Potter.
Right.
Do not do that. Do not turn it into a Harry Potter space. Please don't.
Right.
Yeah. So, and then last is you can also consider an outdoor space. If weather permit, an outdoor space such as porch or a small garden can be a good location for Countdown Corner as well. Being outside in nature itself can be calming and restorative for both children and adults. Of course, I live in Phoenix, so outdoor is too hot.
Maybe in the winter months, right?
Maybe the winter months, but you know, it's too hot usually outdoor. But we do, I mean, with my new house, we have a swimming pool as well on the backyard. So, that's something we can consider later on. Ultimately, the location you choose will depend on the needs and the preference of your child and the layout of your home. The most important thing is to choose a quiet, private space where your child can go to feel calm and safe. So that's something you can discuss with your partner, with your spouse. And, you know, also, of course, you want to involve your kids into a discussion. Oh, mom and dad's trying to create something to help you out, like a Countdown Corner. Where do you think you want to create this space to? Get your kids into that discussion, into that. You want to keep it open discussion so everyone can be participating. And if he or she have any sibling, get a sibling involved too, because everyone can use the space, not just the kids with special needs. Every single kid should have access to that space whenever they want.
Even mom and dad maybe sometimes.
I do need a Countdown Corner sometimes. I'm just so stressed out with work, I need to go to a Countdown Corner myself for sure.
Absolutely. You know, as you were talking about that, I was thinking, you know, even though we didn't call them Countdown Corners at the time, my kids created those spaces often in our house. Like they would put a blanket over a table and, you know, and put some of their stuff in there. And, but having that consistent space to go to where you don't have to like, you know, put the extra energy into it, that you could just go when things get overwhelming, how comforting that is to a child when they know that that's available and ready and something that they can use and has been considered with them in mind. It's just helpful and involving them in that process. So how involved, should you get kids in this process? I mean, I guess it would be kind of considering their abilities level.
This is an excellent question. So involving your child in the process of making a Countdown Corner can help to them to feel more of an ownership over the space and increase their engagement with it. So they will use it more. So here are a couple different suggestions that I kind of summarized before today's podcast that you can take to involve your child. Number one, you explain the purpose. Why do we even want to create
Countdown
Corner? Simply by explaining that and let your kids know why you think you'll be helpful for them is important. And make sure to use the language that they can understand and ask if they have any questions. That's number one.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Number two, brainstorm the idea together. Ask your child what would they like to have in the Countdown Corner. Encourage them to think of the item that will make them feel relaxed, comfortable, and happy. Usually, most kids have their favorite toys. Make sure they bring their favorite toy into that space. That will really make like they feel like they are part of that creation of the space. That's really important. Third, create a plan. Once you have some ideas, work together to create a plan for the Countdown Corner. Decide on the location, what item you want to include, any rule or expectation for using the space.
That's good, yes.
That's important so they don't become a video game space and just play video games. So, and next, shop for supply with your kids together. Take your kids to shopping for supply to decorate the space, furnish the Countdown Corner, let them pick out the item they like. such as shameless plug, the lucky kid weighted knit pillow.
Right, yeah.
Or whatever you want to buy. And weighted blankets, and also different sensory toys or any other toys. It doesn't have to be a sensory toy. It could be just a regular toy they want to include in the space to feel like they have like more comfortable, and it's also more personalized. Right. The next step is decorate the space. Work together to decorate the calm down corner, such as hanging up some positive affirmations or painting the wall with like a smoothing color. Like my son's really into space. So for his countdown corner, we'll definitely put like space posters with all the planets. Because that's what he's really into. So then the next thing is evaluate that actual physical environment and encourage your child to use the countdown corner whenever they need a break or they feel overwhelmed. After some time has passed, check in with your child to see how the countdown corner is working for them and if there are any changes they would like to make. So you can make some changes with your child together. It's a democratic process. We are not communist country here. We're not in China. So it's very important to get your child involved of making the countdown corner together. You can create a space that meets their individual needs and preference. This can also help your child feel more in control of their emotion and behavior, leading to a greater sense of confidence and empowerment. At the end of the day, the main idea is you want to make sure your child's involved in creating that space so they'll use the space. Otherwise, you'll be just sitting there, no one's using it. They defeat the entire purpose of creating a countdown corner to begin with.
Right. Yeah. You're not just creating a pretty space in your house that you can say, look, we have a countdown corner. Yes, no one ever goes there.
Exactly.
Yes. So that's great. And I love that you built into there too, that it's something that's going to change, especially at the beginning, but I think probably throughout the use of it too, you know, just as your child has been using it, you know, to have that conversation on a regular basis of, well, what can we do to improve that space? Or I see you haven't been using it that much. Why is that, you know, and continue those conversations to make that space just even more usable.
100%.
But yeah, I know like the tactile, those kids that, you know, they just have to have certain things that feel a certain way. I know my daughter is those pillows that have the, I don't know what their sequence where you change them. They like,
freak her out.
We go into a store and she is so, you know, ODD, she has to push them all in the right direction. And so they just drive her absolutely crazy.
Oh,
so
funny.
That would be something we would not put in.
Not put it. I saw you want to put it into the space.
But for maybe some kids who are sensory seeking, they like to make the patterns in there. So
yes,
it's going to be so unique. But to have that, you know, that buy-in of let's go and find things that really just speak to you, basically, that, you know, kind of draw you into that comfort and that rest. And it is such a unique thing, like we were talking about at the beginning. And so having them as part of that
process. And I also have some suggestion for the item to include and avoid in the countdown corner.
Oh, yes.
Well.
Yeah.
So let me kind of talk about a few ideas here.
Right.
First,
that'd be great.
Item to include is like I mentioned earlier, soft cushions, pillow, weighted blankets for comfort and relaxation. Or you can have stuffed animals and well, ideally a weighted stuffed animal like the one we designed. Because the weighted really help calm down the kid as well. And then you can also consider having like sensory items like stress ball, fidget toys, or tactile product like the fidget marble maze we have, like the some kind of silent fidget. Books, like some kids' book in the countdown corner will help too. Like it could be coloring books or puzzles or even art supply. Of course, art supply is a little bit trickier because you don't want them to draw on the wall.
Depends on the child.
However, you can get one of our products, which is a writable weighted blanket. We use a water pen.
Yes, that is such a cool product. I absolutely love that one.
We have a weighted blanket.
Yes, we have a review coming out on that.
Yeah, the kids can dry write on it using a water pen. So, I mean, it's water. You're not going to make any mess.
Right, yeah.
So that's one thing to consider. And also white noise machine or like calming music to create that smoothing atmosphere.
Right.
And also a timer to help your child track themselves, because they could be in there for like hours and just right. Come out. It's like, you should be in there for like no more than 30 minutes. If they are there longer, they're probably playing video games.
Right. Yes.
Uh-huh. We'll do something else in there. And also positive affirmation, like I mentioned, like a poster or coming quote on the wall in the book, or it could be like something educational poster to decorate the environment. So that's all the things that you should include. Let me now talk about the thing you should avoid.
Yes, yes.
Number one, don't put electronic device. Otherwise, they'll be putting like freaking video game in there.
Yes, yes.
That will actually cause overstimulation.
Yeah.
Because like the iPads, and that's why like even for my child, we usually, me and my wife decide on how many hours they can use their iPad each day.
Right.
Second, items or toys that could be overstimulating or distracting, you know, anything that's too loud, for example. So any kind of loud or a product that's like too bright may increase anxiety or stress instead of calming them down. And also the next thing to consider is make sure it's not too cluttered, like too many items.
Right.
May also cause overwhelming the child. It's like, oh man, this place is like too crowded, too many stuff.
Right. They can't decide what to do.
Also, I mentioned it multiple times throughout today's interview, is do not use it as a punishment or negative reinforcement. Mm-hmm. Do not use it as a punishment.
Right.
Then anything that can cause harm or dangerous, like anything that's sharp or heavy, well, of course, not heavy is like you don't want to put a freaking dumbbell in the corner.
Right.
So because you want to make sure it's safe. By including items that will promote relaxation and avoid items that might cause overstimulation or harm, now you can really truly create a safe and calming environment for your child to regulate their emotion and behavior. And that is the main purpose of creating a countdown corner to begin with. So.
You're right. Yes. So yes, yeah, so the heaviest thing you want in there is a weighted blanket.
Yes, 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 exactly.
And, and that's soft too. And I think, as you come to those things, anything soft or inviting, and, you know, there's certain words that should just come to mind. And as you think of rest and calm and lean into those and not so much the busy and the chaotic and all of that. So do you have any other considerations that
I think I mentioned about a lot of it, but let me rephrase it. So from creating a countdown corner, there's like several other considerations that you should keep in mind to make it as successful and as effective for your child. I mentioned it earlier, the accessibility is really important to make sure the countdown corner is easily accessible to your child. They should be able to go to the space whenever they need to, without having to ask for permission, or there's like need to like navigate through like a whole bunch of obstacles. It's not an obstacle course.
Yes.
And the second thing, safety is super important. Ensure the space is safe for your child. Remove any hazardous object and item that can cause harm, to make sure any electrical outlet and core are not in there or close to there. That's also important. And then comfort, choosing items that are comfortable and smoothing, such as pillows, cozy blankets, coming. You can even have, you know, those aroma diffuser as well.
Oh yes,
you know, diffuser. To have like not just sound, but now you have smell. You know, because you are trying to calm them down in all their senses. So sound is one, touch is one. That's why you use weighted parlor, and now you can also include smell in there as well. So that's another idea to make sure the light. Also, make sure the lighting is soft and gentle as well, and personalization. Allow your child to personalize the space with their favorite color, favorite decoration. Could be their superhero, or their favorite like Disney princesses, or item that make them feel happy and relaxed. That's important.
Right.
And then rule and expectation. Set that clear rule and expectation on when and how to use the space correctly. Make sure your child understand when and how they can use the space, and what behavior are expected while they are there.
That's good. That's
And then next is use it as a positive reinforcement. Encourage your child to use a countdown corner by offering positive reinforcement. Praise them for taking the initiative to use the space. Reinforce positive behavior and attitude is a key. And also, last but not least, regular maintenance. You regularly check and maintain the countdown corner to ensure it's clean, comfortable and welcoming.
I was going to ask about that. Yes.
So by considering all these factors, now you can create a countdown corner that's safe, comfortable, and effective in helping your child to regulate their emotion and behavior.
Right. Yeah. Any suggestions? I know I didn't include this in my pre-questions that I sent to you, but I'm thinking I have three cats.
Oh, three cats. Okay.
Mm-hmm. How would you kind of reduce their involvement with that space?
That's a hard one. Yeah, that's a tricky one.
Because I could see, I put out one of these brand new, like, fluffy blankets on my sofa recently, and the cats took it over. So I guess maybe we'll just have to create a calm down space for them that's different.
Let me think on it a little bit. Can I get back to you in a few minutes?
Think on that one. I'd also love to hear any stories that you have to share, maybe of one of your kids or somebody that shared with you of creating a space like this and really how it has helped their child to learn how to self-regulate better.
I see. So for the pet, this is a few things I can think of top of my head. First, keeping pets separate in the home can be very challenging, but there's a few strategies you can try to use. The few things I can think of, use a barrier. You set up a physical barrier, like a baby gate, to keep your pets separated.
Uh-huh.
This can help prevent them from entering the space and interacting with the space and, chew up the coming toys.
Right.
And
yes.
Second thing maybe you can consider is like create a separate space. Maybe you have a countdown corner for your pet.
Right. Yes.
Countdown corner for the kids and countdown corner for the pet. So they don't follow each other. That could be something to think about. We're just trying to be creative here, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and also you want to, if you do allow the pets to interact in the space, just make sure it's always supervised, I guess, and supervise their interaction to prevent any kind of aggressive behavior or conflict between the pets and the child. Mm-hmm. And maybe you can also train the pet. Of course, I don't have any pets because three kids is enough for me.
It's enough for you.
Yeah, I don't want any pets on top of having three kids. Train your pet to respond to different commands. I think you can help them, such as stay or calm, and help them to control their movement might help. And also provide some kind of like distraction. Keep your pets busy.
Yes.
So they don't want to go into that corner.
Maybe have a little toy stuff. Toy right outside there for those cats. And then they'll just kind of go after that every time.
Yeah. And I think each pet is unique. So what worked for one may not work for, like what worked for a cat will be very different than what worked for a dog.
Right.
So I think just be patient and persistent in finding a solution that worked for the pet and the kids and kind of find the common. And I know based on a lot of family I talk to, having a pet is actually in itself can be calming for the kids.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So that's like a calm down animal in itself.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So that's great. So we have one viewer on YouTube that made a comment. Angela said, the Right and Chill lap pad works great for all three of my kids, ages 2 to 11. Great for everyone in the family. So.
Oh, thank you, Angela. Angela is actually one of our ambassadors. That's why she knows the product really well. Thank you for watching the live stream, Angela, and you're awesome. And
yeah.
Thank you for
we're having trouble broadcasting to Facebook. I'll just let you know. So we'll actually reload this video back to Facebook once we're done. For some reason, I've had issues the last couple of weeks with broadcasting there. Not sure why.
Whoa, that's funny. I had the issue last week on broadcasting.
Yeah. I think Facebook may have changed their algorithm with some of the broadcasts.
Live stream. Yeah, they always
change. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, but at least YouTube is working.
Yes, exactly. That's important. So as far as like stories that you have to share of really how these spaces have really helped with kids in regulating, do you have any to share or just encouragement to families that
the story I can share is with my own son. We try a few different locations. Originally we tried it under the stair for a little bit, but then of course we have a lot of scenes sometimes, then the countdown corner become too crowded.
Right.
too many items in it. Then we decided to move the countdown corner to like a corner of his room. But then he put way too much toy in it and it began to crowd again. So that's, I think it's when we first created with our son, like I wasn't following the advice I was giving. Like we didn't really set a really clear expectation on how to use the space. For him, it became like a toy space. It's like, oh, I'll put all my toys, my collections of Pokemon.
I can see that. Yes.
It became a Pokemon corner instead of a countdown corner. So that's pretty much what happened. It's like, oh, it's a, this, this is a place to show off all your Pokemon collection. Okay, fine. So that's something that, that's a few lessons that we learned. Of course, we are kind of in the transition process right now because, we are still in the apartment. Our new house here in Phoenix is not finished building yet. Once we move to the new house, which I just got a call from the builder, we are moving in. Well, knock on wood, we should be able to move in on May 20.
So that's the move-in day. Yes.
So once we move to the new house, of course, we'll create a new countdown corner. Right now, we live in a small, like, three-bedroom apartment. There's no room for a countdown corner. There's barely a room for myself, for my work room. I'm, like, standing in this, like, very tiny work corner. And, and that's why you only see my wall, because I show you the other side, it's like a mess.
I've got the same thing on my other side of my camera.
I just switch my angle like 30 degrees, like, oh, this is a huge mess. But anyway. So that's kind of the situation, but to consider, because not everyone can afford to like live in a house, like a single family house. A lot of people, a lot of family I talk to, they live in an apartment, like in the smaller apartment. It's a little bit harder to create like a separate corner. So right now, my son have his own room. So we have a three room, but we have three kids. So two of our kids sleep with my wife and stuff. And my son have his own room. So that his room is kind of his countdown corner right now. And this is Pokemon collection and everything in there. So that's kind of how we set up. And one thing my son always like to use is the balance ball chair, you know, one of those with leg on it. One of, well, shameless plug again, but it's one of like his product. But he always used it when he was like, you know, doing stuff in his room for some reason. Even so, he's not sitting, he will be just like kind of laying on the ball and, you know, doing something.
Okay.
It kind of helped him, I guess, it gave him some additional sensory input while he was like,
right, that pressure.
The readings. Readings, or, you know, maybe just play on his iPad. That's what I noticed. And when we used to live in the house, for some reason, I still couldn't figure it out, like, why, but he always liked to sit on the stairs all the time. Even so, he have his own room, but he always like, he would just like he just sit on the stairs and lay on the stairs, like, you know, sideways. He does that a lot when he was like younger. If for some reason, like, stair becomes like the stairway becomes his countdown corner for some reason. He'll be putting his toys on the stairs and doing his things on the stairs. I don't know why, but that was just based on my personal observation, like over the year with my son. Each case is different. Like I mentioned, it's kind of something you need to kind of experiment to see what worked the best, not just for the kids, but for the family, because he having a countdown countdown corner at the stair is not very convenient for the rest of the family, as he can notice
that.
Oh, I'm trying to get upstairs, he's blocking with all
his toys. Dangerous too.
Yeah, become a tripping hazard.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, so, we had a space in one of our houses, and I didn't even think about this as being a calming space, but my oldest was very much into Legos. He actually still is. At 26, he still buys Legos. But we were gifted with this house it had a half bathroom, but above the half bathroom was this carpeted room that was half the size of a regular room.
Interesting.
And so we put all the Legos in there, and our kids would go up there for hours, and all you would hear was Legos, you know, like, you know, moving around, and it was just this space. And they still talk about this house. So we've moved many times, but it was one of those spaces that was just... Yeah. It left an impact. It was very calming.
Sounds like a countdown corner.
And there was no outlets in there, so they couldn't even plug anything in.
I see. The only story I have with Lego is you tend to step on it a lot.
Yes, that was the other nice thing about that is you had to use a ladder to get up there. So it wasn't even walking up there. You were crawling most of the time.
But
kept it off the floor.
I see. That's a very, very unique space. That's a very unique space.
It was just hard to get into when I was pregnant. So. That was the kicker.
I see.
So just kind of being creative, I guess, you know, that mm-hmm. and willing to explore and try things out and really take into consideration the uniqueness of your child. I think, you know, as we've been talking, that just keeps coming back is, you know, mm-hmm. every child, every family has unique situations and not trying to create this space.
I have a little guess here.
We always love little guests on our show. We get them rarely. Hello.
You want to say hi? No, she's kind of shy.
Okay.
So we're back to one of the discussion about Countdown Corner is get the siblings involved because we have three kids. And the Countdown Corner, like I mentioned, it shouldn't be just designed for one kid. It's important that everyone in the family have the same expectation for the Countdown Corner, especially for the younger one. Mm-hmm. Because she's the youngest in our family. She's only 5. Her brother is already 12. I mean, her brother is the one that's on the spectrum and with ADHD. So it's very important to be everyone have the same rule and expectations and know this is a safe and a sharing space that everyone in the family could use as long as it's following the certain rule.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Because you're sharing that we're all living in the same space as a family, and to have those common rules and expectations is so good. Usually it'll start a battle otherwise.
I see Angela have a comment for us.
Yeah, Angela added. She said, "My son, age 6, is super high energy. He used to run around the house and was running into things. Lackey kid and the balance ball made a huge difference. Now he will bounce while watching TV."
Thank you for sharing. Now, one of the products that actually this product my wife helped design it is our new weighted animal. I mean, maybe you can
it's the big one. Yeah,
it's a big one. This is excellent for Countdown Corner because you can put it on the kid's lap while they are just sitting reading a book,
right?
And it's designed to do that. Of course, it's kind of hard to see. And our design, you have a zipper on the side, so you can open it and you can take out the weight on the inside, very easily weighted. And when we designed it, I was debating whether or not to put the weight in the hands and the leg. Mm-hmm. Based on the feedback we got from our audiences, we decided to put the weight. We designed the weight so it shaped like match flash against all the
extremities of the animal.
Yeah, so you have the weight in it too. So that's something to consider as well.
Because kids like that blanket feel or kind of that over encompassing compression and so the further it's spread out, I guess that's why you like the blanket, but to have it look like a cute little stuffed animal is better. So can you talk a little bit about Lackey Kid? It's lakikid.com.
Several different websites. Of course, you can find all of our product on LuckyKid.com. If you want to find special deals, we have a deal website called SensoryDeal.com that people can find like weekly deals. We run weekly deals for product, not just for Lucky Kid, but for all the companies. Like I was mentioned about Handy Scenes, is one of our partners. They also design sensory product. We featured different product in the past. Actually, not in the past. It's still going. Every single week, we're featuring different product. And we do live shopping show called Sensory Deal Live. And Angela is actually our host. So Angela is the host for that show. And she did an excellent job explaining and showing the product from her perspective because she also have kids on the spectrum. She's just like she's also a special needs parent like I am. So she do an excellent job sharing the product from her perspective as a parent, using it with her kids, with herself. And we try to make that show as like casual and as informative at the same time as possible. But of course, instead of just being educational, but we are also kind of promoting some products as far as different product usage. And that's the second website we own. We also own another website called sensoryinclusiveclassroom.org. The third website is designed for teachers because we have a school program that we are currently working on. We have a beta school we are testing. The idea of the sensory inclusive classroom, it go back to our collaboration with Culture City. Culture City is one of the largest nonprofit organization internationally. They have over 600 location now that's sensory inclusive with their sensory inclusive initiative program. And their location include the Super Bowl stadiums, baseball stadiums, basketball stadiums, zoos, aquariums, cruise ships, even police stations. What do they do for all the location is they do three things. You can look them up for the viewer that's watching the live or the replay.
Right. I'll make sure to put the link in the description.
Look up culturecity.org is Culture City with a K in the beginning. And that's a place where you can go in and type in your zip code to find the closest location near your house that you can go to this weekend with your kid. So all the location, they do the following. First, they provide staff training. So the staff is aware of the sensory challenges that family like us and like the viewer usually face when we take the kids to the public. Second, they provide sensory bag. It's like a backpack for the kids for free. You can rent it out. Inside the backpack have noise-canceling headphones, fidget toys, and one of our products. We are the vendor for Culture City.
Okay.
So we designed the writable weighted blanket was designed for Culture City originally.
Okay.
So they of course, not every single location have our product because not every single location need a weighted blanket. Usually you need to be seated and to use it. So, but they also help those locations to create sensory room, which is essentially a countdown corner.
Yes,
it's
right.
A countdown corner. It's a room.
Right.
So that's designed to be safe, comfortable for the family to take their kids to in case the kids have a meltdown or have a huge tantrum. Because to be honest, people don't understand. It's like, oh, are you abusing your child? Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
I'm going to call the police. It's like, oh, no, you don't want that to happen.
Right.
So that's why Culture City create all this specifically for family like ours. So that's really important. And going back to our school program that we are still working on launching, because originally this program was supposed to launch in 2020. We all know what happened to all the school in 2020. I don't need to elaborate. COVID shut everything down.
Yeah,
I was actually on the edge of bankruptcy and a divorce in 2020.
I remember that. Yeah.
But I'm still very passionate about the school program. I want to relaunch it. So for those of you that's watching, that's also a teacher or educator, go visit sensoryinclusiveclassroom.org. Give us some feedback on how we can make it the best school program as possible that can create. The idea of the program is very simple. We want to do what Culture City is already doing at the zoo, at the stadium, but for the school instead, by providing training to the teacher, to the paraeducator, to the special education teacher, because you'll be surprised how many teachers I talk to, how little knowledge they know about sensory needs. Very little.
Exactly.
They don't know. It's not part of their official training. It's like, oh, I have a kid that's bouncing off the wall. I don't know what to do with them. Very, very common in the public school environment. I want to help change that. Second, I also want to provide some of our product, of course, to the school and help school to create a countdown corner or a sensory room for the school environment. So that's what I'm working on with Lucky Kid. And we have a lot of project going on. And I'm just lucky and I'm surrounded, I guess, surrounded myself with all the people I really enjoy working with.
Yeah.
Especially like Angela that's watching the show right now. She is awesome. And thank you, Angela, for working with us on helping us to promote and really raise awareness. Like I shared before this meeting, my life mission is only one. I want to change and impact over 1 million lives of family affected by special needs.
That's an incredible.
I want to make sure I can accomplish that until hopefully before the day I die. That's how passionate I feel about the cause.
Yeah.
That's why, despite of all the financial difficulty I went through in my entrepreneurial career, I never gave up.
Right.
To share one more very personal story to the viewer,
especially
for those that is looking to start a business that have any entrepreneurial mindset, is in 2017 when I first started Lucky Kid, the very same year my older daughter got diagnosed with leukemia, the very, very same year. And my son has special needs, autism, ADHD, and my wife was pregnant during that time. Wow. And I have a full-time job, and I was starting the startup company on the side.
Wow.
So if you give me any excuses and say, oh, I'm busy, I couldn't start a business. Oh, I have a full-time job, I'm this and that. That's all excuses. And if I can do it, you can do it. If That's I can do it as an Asian guy that barely speaking English, you can do it, right? And that
Absolutely.
Is the message I always share, because I also run an e-commerce business podcast. I always share to my entrepreneur friends.
Yes.
Never give up. As long as you have a cause, you have a mission that's bigger than yourself, you will Absolutely. Do everything inside your soul to make sure it will happen. And that's exactly what I did with Lucky Kid with my team.
And unfortunately, in our day and age, we've lost that passion or the thought that the American dream is still alive, or that we can do that, because we want to blame either the system or we want to blame ourselves. Really, truly, it's all a mindset, and a willingness to really persevere.
Yeah. And I also want to share one more thing for your viewer, because homeschooling is not easy. I looked into homeschool many, many years ago with my wife, but we decided not to do it because it was too much for my family. Mm-hmm. Kudos to all of you that's watching, that's doing homeschooling. It's a lot of work. I understand the difficulties by having a homeschooling, and you're trying to do all the things like financially, try to make it work and make sure the kids doesn't go crazy. It is a lot of work. Just like running a business almost. Like homeschooling parents, kudos to you guys, because I couldn't do it. And I really want to do everything in my power to also support the homeschooling parents besides the regular school and the teacher, because that's a different type of struggle, different type of like mindset you need to be in. And Angela is actually also a homeschooling parents with her kids. So that's something awesome. She also talk about during the show sometimes from a homeschooling perspective, because I don't really do homeschool myself, so I don't have a lot of personal experience with that. So for those of you that's watching, also want to check out our show, you can check out our show at Sensory Deal Live, which we also do it once a week.
Yeah.
We talk a lot about that, like how do we use different products to help with some of the struggle being a homeschooling parent as well. So.
Right. Yeah. And we have some reviews coming up soon and unboxings of your products too from our team. So they'll kind of add into that mix too. And those will be available on our YouTube channel in the coming months. So you'll want to check out those as well. But yeah, Jason has some great products. And thank you so much, Jason, just for sharing today. I enjoyed all that you had to share.
Yeah.
And for parents who are in their homes all the time with their kids, these calm down spaces are so important.
Yeah. And I don't know, Peggy, when are you going to publish this episode yet? But we're also doing a huge giveaway for Autism Awareness Month in April. We're going to announce the giveaway next week, I think toward the end of next week. So check us out on social media and join the free giveaway, because it's free to enter.
We
are giving out like a couple $100 worth of sensory product every single week.
Wow.
So every single week, we're going to pick a winner and they get like a whole sensory bundle. Pretty much you get the entire thing for your Countdown Corner for free.
Wow.
Everything is going to be, you can use it for your Countdown Corner. And we are doing a big giveaway campaign next month, which more information is to come on that. If you follow us on the social media, either Facebook, we have a YouTube channel as well, and you can also follow us on Instagram.
I'll make sure to share all that information on the description. So this is on YouTube right now. I will be on Facebook in probably about a couple hours because didn't share there. And then the podcast will come out in a couple weeks. That will all be out in April. So that's super exciting. Well, thanks again, Jason. This was great to get you finally on the show and for you to be able to share. I appreciate you just taking time out of your crazy schedule. Good luck with your traveling coming up and enjoy that. And I'm sure you will. And best of luck with your international endeavors and going back to Japan. I look forward to hearing the reports on that and how goes. Yeah.
For sure. Thank you all for having me. Thank you so much.
Yes, absolutely. And thank you all for joining us. We actually have a second broadcast this week. So we're going to have one on Thursday morning, super early, at 8 a.m. Central. We're going to talk about critical thinking skills and biblical literacy for all students. So if you're up early and want to join us for that discussion, we'll be live then. But it's going to kind of kick us off between our topics this month of the Twice Exceptional Learners into we're going to talk about high school and maybe some alternative plans for students. So critical thinking is just kind of one of those things that we always want to focus on is how do you teach kids to think and to discern things for themselves? So that's what we're going to talk about on Thursday morning. So I hope you can join us then. But thanks all for joining us for this episode, and we'll see you then. Bye, everybody. Thank you. God bless.
I want to take just a second to thank the team at Life Audio for their partnership with us on this podcast. If you go to lifeaudio.com, you'll find dozens of other faith-centered podcasts in their network. They've got shows about prayer, Bible study, parenting, and more.
This has been Empowering Homeschool Conversations with Peggy Ployer.
Jesus wants our fears to launch us toward faith. Then he grins and says, "Do you trust me? Because together, we can do this." With Mornings with Jesus, you can start your day in a positive way. Find hope through inspirational stories and scripture. Go to lifeaudio.com or search your favorite podcast app for Mornings with Jesus. You can also download the Abide app for biblical meditations at abide.com.